Are you a forgetful person? Are you? Talking about being forgetful, the first thing I can think of is about all the past work, you know, now we have to handle every day or every week, you have to memorize, right? But I remember when I was young, the only past work I need to remember, guess what? This is this four-digit PIN for your bank card. And that's it, you know? For many years, that is the only password I remember. But now, time has changed, right? There were so many passwords you have to memorize. For example, your Amazon account, you have the password. Your Apple ID, your Shaw Open. Sometimes you go to a new shopping mall. Oh, where's my Shaw Open password? And maybe the password of the new app you just downloaded last night. There's so many more password, different things that you have to memorize. And sometimes you end up forgetting all of them. Being forgetful sometimes can get into you into trouble. But forgetting password is just one thing. Think about being forgetful in a relationship that could get you into bigger trouble. Have you ever forget the birthday of your loved one? Maybe your spouse, maybe your mom and dad. In our family, one of the most tricky months to go through is the month of June. Do you know why? Because both my wedding anniversary and my son's birthday are in June. And they are just one day apart. One day apart. So every year, arriving June, you know, I say, oh no, June the 1st. Today, should it be my wedding anniversary, or is it Caleb's birthday? Because they are just one day apart. And once a while, I got them mixed up. And usually, this is not a good thing, right? Being forgetful in a relationship can get you into, you know, trouble sometimes. But there's yet a more serious type of forgetfulness. A spiritual forgetfulness is about forgetting God. About forgetting God. And talking about forgetting God, I want to share with you another story. It happens many years ago, in my first year of university. I was born in a Christian family like many of us, like many of you. I go to church almost every Sunday for most of my life, since I was a baby. After high school, I went to London, Ontario, not London, UK, but London, Ontario, to do my undergraduate. And after Labor Day, 1986, can you imagine, 1986? This is the year, actually, Stand By Me, that movie was filmed or was shown. You know, those were the time. My parents dropped me off at Medway Hall, which is one of the oldest residences of University of Western Ontario. And I start my university life. And living at the residence was fun, especially at Western. Is the Western logos there? Yep. It was the first time in my life I'm living with a roommate, you know, not my brother, you know, not, you know, other people sleep over, but a real roommate. And if you know anything about Western, it is famous of being a party university, right? Even though they do well usually, but there's an added value going to Western because it's a party university. And I still remember all the big and small parties we had just during the first week. Officially, it's called Orientation Week, but usually we call it Frosh Week, right? Frosh Week, you know. It was fun, you know, and for me, it was the first time it just opened my eye to see, wow, life is so different. And during the year, parties going on almost every weekend. Sometimes it's in the residence, sometimes it's on campus, some different room and stuff like that. And I still remember, after the weekend, when you walk on the residence hallway, you know, you will find out one thing. You know what's that? All the floor are all sticky. You wonder why? Why are they sticky? It's because all the beer being spilled on the floor over the weekend, and every week is almost the same. That's Western. And living in such a culture, I find that God has become more and more distant in my life. In my first year, unfortunately, I did not meet anyone on campus who was a Christian. On my floor, there are almost, in the restaurant, there are almost 20 people. Most of them, they are not Chinese, they are not Christian. So that was a very different world I was in. And I did not attend any church service on Sunday when I am on campus during that year as well. But if you ask me whether I still claim myself being a Christian, I probably would still say yes. But all my experience with God is only a past experience in my memory. And God seems to be pushed further and further away to a very remote corner in my memory. God is being forgotten in my life. God is being forgotten in my life. I don't know whether you have similar experience, that God seems to be pushed in a far, far corner to a remote corner of your memory. Maybe you are like me. You have been in church for many years, or even most of your life. You came to Kapos when you were a toddler. You joined Acts when you were in high school. But now, just things are different, right? You feel different. God seems to be a bit further or even further away in your life. Francis Chan wrote in his book, Crazy Love, he said, "There's an epidemic of spiritual amnesia," well, which just means forgetfulness, "going around. And none of us is immune. No matter how many fascinating details we learn about God's creation, no matter how many pictures we see of His galaxy, and no matter how many sunsets we watch, we still forget. An epidemic of spiritual amnesia. Why do we so easily forget? And we so often forget all that God is and all that He has done in our life." For the past 2 weeks, Pastor Wilbur has been sharing different plagues about anxiety and about disappointment. And today we'll go to the third plague. It's called the plague of forgetfulness. Forgetfulness. Being forgetful can be costly. In the Old Testament, the Israelites had paid a huge price because of their own forgetfulness. So let's turn to Psalm 106, Psalm 106, which is a detailed recap of how forgetful the people were in the journey from Egypt to the Promised Land. So if you have a Bible, please turn to Psalm 106. Can you believe that? At the very beginning of Exodus, even before the people crossed the Red Sea, which is almost like the first station of the journey, they were already forgetful. In Psalm 106, verse 6 to 7, the writer of the psalm confessed to God on behalf of their forefathers. "Our fathers, when they were in Egypt, did not consider your wondrous works. They did not remember the abundance of your steadfast love, but rebelled by the sea at the Red Sea." Even before they crossed the Red Sea, the Israelites were already complaining and grumbling. Can you believe that? And let's look at the original in Exodus chapter 14. It's actually where it originally happened. "And the people of Israel cry out to God. They," the people, "said to Moses, 'Is it because there are no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in wilderness?'" This is what they were complaining. "Why have you done to us to bring us out of Egypt?" Can you believe that? They're supposed to be escaping from the slavery. And now, at the edge of the Red Sea, they were complaining. "Why are we here? You know, why don't we just go back to Egypt?" In verse 12, it said, "Is not this what we said to you in Egypt? Leave us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians." We like Egypt, right? "And for it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness." Can you see the big comparison? God's plan wanted to free them from slavery, but these people want to stay and continue the slavery. And even though the people had witnessed how they were protected from the 10 plagues, you know, for the many things happened. Even though they were witness, how the firstborn were protected at the first Passover. They did not remember. They were rebelling. This is the first being forgetful situation. And besides being forgetful by the Red Sea, they were also forgetful when they were traveling in the wilderness. In verse 13 to 14 in Psalm 106, it says, "But they soon forgot his works. They did not wait for his counsel. They had a wanton craving in the wilderness. They put God in the tent in the desert." In the book of Numbers, in chapter 11, the people were grumbling in the wilderness because of one problem. And guess what? They want to eat steak. Well, actually, they want to eat meat, but this is their complaint. In Numbers chapter 11, verse 4 to 6, it says, "And the people of Israel also wept again." See, those people are either complaining, grumbling, now they're weeping. "Oh, that we have meat to eat. Remember the fish we ate in Egypt that cost nothing." Oh, that's nice. "The cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic." Sounds like a vegetarian restaurant. "But now our strength is dry up, and there's nothing at all but this manna to look at." You still remember the manna story, right? God gave them manna every day, 6 days a week, right? And even though the people were forgetful, well, as we just read, they actually remember one thing. They remember the manu back at Egypt. They remember the Egyptian seafood and the many delicious vegetables that they were enjoying. And then they start complaining about the food they received, the manna. And then it seems like they forgot that they are in the desert, right? They are not in first class Cathay Pacific, right? They are in the desert. And they forgot that every piece of manna they have picked up every day actually is a miracle. They just somehow forgot it. Another incident, they are being forgetful, in Psalm 106 is from verse 19 to 22. It says, "They make a calf in Horeb and worship a metal image. They exchange the glory of God for the image of an ox that eats grass." So they were making idols, as we remember, right? "They forgot God, their Savior, who had done great things in Egypt, wondrous work in the land of Ham, and awesome deeds by the Red Sea." This incident happened in Exodus chapter 32, when the people were waiting for Moses, because Moses was up in the mountain having a meeting with God. So they were waiting on the ground. In Exodus chapter 32, the first word is said, "When the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain because of a longer meeting, the people gathered themselves together to Aaron and said to him, 'Up, make us gods so we shall go before us. As for Moses, this man who brought us up,'" seems like they don't know him, "'out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him.'" So they were complaining, they were not patient. They want to do something. And at this incident, the people were not just being forgetful, they were not just grumbling. Now, they were actually making idols. They were actually making idols. So from Red Sea to the wilderness, now at Mount Horeb, despite of God's protection, time after time after time, we can see a downward spiral, being further and further away from God. From being forgetful, the people complain, the people grumble, and eventually they were choosing their own way instead of God's way. Forgetfulness caused people to stumble easily in faith, and also they stumble in sin as well. But think about that. At every situation that we just read, The Israelite seems to forget one thing. They seem to forget who is actually leading them. As they went back again and again, it seemed like every time they have trouble, they ask the same question. They reevaluate who God is. They reevaluate God's relationship with them as if they don't know God. Do you wonder why? You know, how come? You know, they've gone through a lot already, but now it seems like every time trouble came, they were asking the same question. It seems like they don't know God. And despite of all the miracles that they have experienced, from God's protection to crossing the Red Sea, from the pillar of clouds and fire to the daily supply of manna, the people still complain. The people still grumble. And if you are not too sure, let me repeat again, the grumbling again. What have you done to us in bringing us out of Egypt? Why do we only have manna on our menu every day for 40 years? And about that Moses, we do not know what has become of him. Why do you lead us into this desert, this nowhere land? Do you want to have us die here? And do you really care for us? Despite of all the miracles, the people forget. Despite of all the miracles in Exodus, the people disregarded all the incident God has saved them along the way. And despite of all the miracles, they still do not believe that God is loving and faithful. Is that ridiculous? Can you believe that if you were one of the Israelites, you know, complain, complain, complain? However, please don't think that this is only the problem of the Israelites. It is not just the problem of the Israelites. Every time when the trial comes, it may be you or me who go back and ask God the same question again and again. God, are you loving? God, are you powerful? God, do you really care about me? Do you really care? Just imagine if it happens in a relationship with someone you love. It could be your spouse, it could be your family members. Every time when you guys encounter problems in your relationship, you ask the person the same question. Do you really love me? Do you really care about me? It just sounds like you don't know that person, or you have forgotten what you have gone through all these years. And what will happen if this situation keeps repeating and repeating? This relationship is not built on trust anymore. It's built on questioning and mistrust. So now back to our relationship with God. Every time when the trial comes, if all we do was asking God the same question again, again, and again, God, are you loving? God, are you powerful? God, do you really, really care about me? Instead of trusting, if we keep questioning God, eventually, what we are doing actually is testing God. Forgetfulness is a common yet deadly spiritual disease. Forgetfulness is a common yet deadly spiritual disease. And that is why God's word gives us so much emphasis for us not to forget, but to remember. While the enemy wants us to be distracted and forget, God calls us to remember. The antidote to spiritual forgetfulness is making every effort to recall and remember God's gracious deliverance. The antidote to spiritual forgetfulness is making every effort to recall and remember God's gracious deliverance. After many years of Exodus, before they enter the promised land, Moses reminds a new generation of Israelites once again in the book of Deuteronomy. So from Exodus to Numbers, now we move to the Deuteronomy story. Moses to the people, which is the new generation already, it's not the original generation, they all passed away except Joshua and Caleb. Moses' message to the people is still the same, to warn them not to forget the Lord and ask them to remember God and His salvation. And in Deuteronomy chapter 8, it is a wonderful passage for people who graduate. I think usually I give them this chapter. This is a wonderful passage, whether you graduate from high school or university. This is a wonderful passage of a reminder. Moses warned them about the danger of forgetfulness. The phrase forget the Lord your God appears again and again in this chapter. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 11, it says, take care lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping His commandments and His rules and His statutes. Then in verse 14, then your heart to be lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, the house of slavery. And in verse 19, again, if you forget the Lord your God and go after other gods and serve them and worship them. So this forgetting God idea is repeated again and again. Besides warning against the problem of forgetfulness, Moses also stressed the importance of remembering. In chapter 8, verse 2, you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness. Verse 18, you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who give you the power to get wealth, that He may confirm His covenant that He swore to your forefathers, as it is this day. In fact, the word remember is a key word of the whole book of Deuteronomy, as the same word appears six other times, you know, in the whole book. And again, again, and again, Moses reminded the people who they were. They were just slaves in the land of Egypt. But also Moses reminded them what God has done. God redeemed them from Egypt, so from slavery to freedom. So the story of Israelite is actually a struggle between remembering and forgetting. And while the enemy wants us to be distracted and forget, God calls us to remember. The antidote to spiritual forgetfulness is making every effort to recall and remember God's gracious deliverance. And that's also applied not just to the Israelites, but also to our own faith journey. Without remembering, we will grumble, we will complain. Without remembering, we will only see the problem in front of us. And when our enemy Satan wants us to be forgetful, God wants us to remember. And through remembering, we're able to see a bigger picture of how our life is being shaped. So now, back to my story at Western. The story didn't end there. At the end of my first year, you know, after many months of, you know, partying, well, and studying, and not going to church, and, you know, a lot of crazy things happened. At the end of my first year, it was probably around March or April, I've been getting tired of that lifestyle, you know, too many parties, right? So I stayed at my residence one Saturday evening. Actually, I didn't go out anymore on that. Well, exam is coming too, right? So better do some studying. And all of a sudden, I noticed that there's a book on my bookshelf that I have not been reading or touching for a long time. And get what book is it? It's my own Bible. I took it out, shake off the dust, you know, and start reading some of the verses that has been highlighted in the past you know, highlighting, and oh, that's probably the first time for many months. And I still remember the feeling when I was reading those verses being highlighted. I went back somewhere that I haven't been visited for a long time. It was a warm feeling. It was a familiar feeling, just like you go back to your elementary school classroom, if you have a chance to take a look, and maybe that was the feeling, familiar, warm. And that evening, God helped me to remember about my faith journey and how He has saved me and shaped me all these years. And I realized that God was always around, but it was me who moved further and further from Him. So after many months of silence, I prayed to God that evening. I prayed to God. And at that evening, I also make a decision. I ask God, I want to go back to You. I want to go back to You. Forgetting and remembering, they are not just two different options. Actually, they are matters of life and death. At the end of the book of Deuteronomy, in chapter 30, Moses called the people to make up their mind. It's not just two options, but to make up their mind. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 16, it says, "If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you today, by loving the Lord your God, by walking in His ways, and by keeping His commandments and His statutes and His rules, then you shall live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to take possession of it." And in the Message version, this is how Deuteronomy 30:16 is being translated. "And I command you today, love God, your God. Walk in this way. Keep His commandments, regulations, and rules so that you will live. Really live. Live exuberantly." Wow, that's a heavy word. "Blessed by God, your God, in the land you are about to enter and possess." This is the climax of Moses' message for the new generation to make up your mind, to choose life, to choose God, to trust in God's grace and obey His command. And while the enemies want us to be distracted and forget, the Lord calls us to remember. The antidote to spiritual forgetfulness is making every effort to recall and remember God's gracious deliverance. In this morning, besides just sharing with you the importance of remembering or the problem of forgetfulness, I want you to put into practice about being a remembering person. Yes, we are all busy people, and busyness blocks us from remembering the specific things that God has been doing in our life. So here are four things I would like you to take a look and will help us to remember God in different parts of our life. First, to write it down. Writing down the specific things that God has done in your life so you won't forget. But don't just write in any piece of paper, because by Tuesday you probably will forget it. So buy a decent journal. Let me show you what I have. Well, this is not just any journal, right? This is a nice one. Well, and also buy a nice pen too. I find that a good pen also helps you to write too, even though those are little things. But have a decent journal and start writing down specific things that God has done in your life. But you were asking, well, writing down, you know, what's the point? Because writing down actually is not the end, but just the mean. When you are depressed one day, or when you're confused, you don't know what to do, actually, you can go back to this journal and reread the journal. What is being written actually will give you some visible proof that God has been helping you, God has been guiding you for the big and small challenges. So write down the specific things in your life that God has been doing to help you, to shape you. So that is one thing. Number two, giving thanks. Well, that sounds simple. Every time, you know, when you come to English worship, one reminder, be on time. Don't be late. You don't just come for the sermon, but actually, the praise and worship for the first 15, 20 minutes is also very important. During our praise and worship, you know what happened? God actually can use old or new songs to remind us about His goodness and His faithfulness. And as you participate in praising God, God is able to help you to recall and to remember what He has been doing in your life. Maybe in the past week or maybe in the past month. Yeah, God is able to help us to remember. Sometimes, you know, in our busy week, we forgot a lot of things. But during that 15-20 minutes, if you participate in the worship, actually, God can actually help us to remember. So this praise and worship can be a time of remembering. And when you remember His goodness, His faithfulness, the most immediate actions you can have is to thank God, to give thanks right here. You know, in that 11 to 11:20, this is a time to remember and give thanks. Number three, to talk about it. Talk about it. We don't just remember God in our own minds only, even though that's the starting point. We can also remember what God has done in our life in our community. So if you belong to any small group or oikos at Koinonia, make use of every opportunity to share about what God has done in your life. Usually, you know, in our oikos, we have those time, instead of just sharing other things, we'll take turn going through, you know, maybe the past week, maybe the past 2 weeks, you know, what God has been doing. So make use of those opportunity to share. Because when you share, God will help you to remember and also help you to confirm, yes, this is real. God has been leading. So the more you talk about it, what God has been doing in your life, the more you are able to remember. So number three, talk about it. Last but not least, number four, the rhythm of remembering. Rhythm of remembering. Every year we celebrate birthday or weddings, right? So I don't know whether you do that. Usually we do. But have you ever marked down and celebrated the particular dates when you experienced God's special protection in your life? For the Jewish people, besides they honor the Sabbath every week, actually every year, Jewish people celebrate different festivals. And one of the more common examples is Passover. They celebrate Passover as a commemoration of the liberation by God from slavery to freedom as well. And what about us? What would you celebrate? Anyone still remember the exact day of your baptism? December 24th, right? Is that, I think for Daniel, was it 24th? Or how about some other days that God has been protecting you? As for me and my family, 2 years ago, actually, there were three special Fridays that we would never forget. And let me share with you those particular moments. They all happened on Friday, actually. It happened on Friday. The first one, a Friday at spring break. God protected my son Caleb from a traffic accident as he was riding a bike near UBC. There was Friday afternoon. I got a call I believe, from Children's Hospital, right, emergency. Oh, that day was, I could not, I won't have time to tell you the detail, but so that was very significant. But thank God for his protection. I went to that trauma room, right, in the emergency and saw Caleb. Well, thank God, God's protection. It was a Friday during spring break. The second one was in August, when I received another phone call, while I was leading small group on a Friday night. Guess what happened? Our house was on fire. I saw the text first. I don't believe that. Oh, really? And then I received a phone call, and then, oh, it was real. And despite of all the damages, well, big and small, we thank God for his protection of our kids. When the fire broke out. So that was another Friday that we won't forget. The third one happened in November. After spending 39 days at the hospital, my mom went to be with the Lord on a Friday afternoon. Despite the loss, as I look back in those 39 days, our family have learned a very important lesson. Cancer cannot shut out God's miracle. Cancer cannot shut out God's miracle. So for our family, we would never forget those three Fridays that God has led us through each challenge. God has protected us from other danger as well. So while the enemy wants us to be distracted and forget, God calls us to remember. And let's make every effort to recall and remember God's gracious deliverance. Let's stand together. We want to have a time of reflection and meditation. Let's stand. I would like to give us a moment of reflection. Just treat this as a space to remember. Try to think of where you were in your relationship with God 6 months ago. And where are you now? Can you name one thing that God has done in your life in the past 6 months? Try to think of where you were in your relationship with God 6 months ago, and where are you now? Can you name one thing that God has done in your life in the past 6 months? I'll give you a minute, just a minute, to reflect upon it. Let's pray together, shall we? Lord, we acknowledge that we need you. We need you every step of our journey with you. We acknowledge that without you, we will fall apart. We declare that you are the one, the only one that has guides our heart. Lord, we need you. Every hour we need you. You are our defense. You are our righteousness. Oh God, we need you.
Lord, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest, and without you.
Receive the benediction. May the Lord, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all, now be sent into the world. The Lord Jesus Christ said this. He says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have taught you, and surely I will be with you always to the end of the ages." This is the end of the worship service. Come back next Sunday for part 4 of the plague.